In the name of God who loves us through our transformation. Amen. Peace be with you. We heard this same greeting from Jesus last week in the Gospel of John. The disciples are sitting around and they're talking amongst themselves and they're trying to put together their experiences. The women are describing the empty tomb. Cleopas and the other disciple are explaining what happened to them on the road to Emmaus, how he had been with them and opened up the scriptures for them and how they didn't even recognize him until he broke bread. And in this excitement of trying to make sense of it all, Jesus suddenly appears. Peace be with you, he tells them. And we're told that they were startled and they were terrified. They thought they had seen a ghost. Why are you frightened? Jesus asked them. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. See where the nails have been. And as he shows them his hands and his feet, we're told that they were joyful, but also disbelieving and wondering. You know, I've come to find that for a great many people, this is still our posture toward resurrection. The idea that death has been conquered, that Christ's death wasn't the end but the beginning, and that by way of our baptism, we are grafted into that life and death and resurrection. We have hope that our ending will be our beginning. I mean, that's a joyful proclamation. That idea evokes joy. But I have people all the time, usually in really hushed voices, ask me, do you really believe the story? Was it really a resurrection of the flesh? Was Christ's flesh and body actually resurrected? And I think that the question behind the question is, will my flesh and my body be resurrected? I know this because I've asked the same question. You know, the thing is, Christians for 2,000 years have debated the mechanics of resurrection because resurrection still evokes joy and disbelieving and wondering. About a year ago, someone introduced me to the five essential questions. And these five questions are said that if you utilize them on a regular basis, they will help you find more happiness in life. And I'm kind of interested in things like that. And so I try to utilize these questions. And over the last week, as people have talked with me about resurrection, one of the five essential questions keeps coming up. Couldn't we at least? Now, this is the question that is supposedly the beginning of all progress. And it's a question that enables us to get unstuck, to get some consensus. Couldn't we at least? It's a way to get started, even when we don't know where we're going. And so I ask you this morning, no matter where you stand in this resurrection debate, or if you've never thought about it until this morning, and I'm sorry for that, couldn't we at least agree that it is profound that the resurrected body of Jesus still has his wounds? Couldn't we at least agree that no matter how you envision Jesus, that it's really profound that that resurrected body still has wounds? You see, a God that could have, that could resurrect him from the dead could have gotten rid of the wounds, but it didn't happen. And clearly, Jesus had been transformed into something new. The disciples, they don't even recognize him. And it's not that he merely changed. You know, change is looking to the past and comparing it and fixing things. But transformation is something new. It's a birth. And Jesus had been transformed. They don't recognize him. And he says, look at my hands and my feet. It's in the wounds that they know who he truly is. Couldn't we at least agree that those wounds are profound? You see, we die deaths in this life. Dreams are lost. Loved ones leave us. Our bodies fail. Our families disappoint us. And the fact that Jesus still has those wounds tells us that even in all the deaths that we die, resurrection conquers death. Resurrection transforms death. But it does not erase the memory of death. And that's actually really good news. Otherwise, we would never experience the fullness of life. In my own life, I've struggled with the wounds of death. And I suspect many of you have as well. And I've gone to two different extremes. On one hand, I've tried to compartmentalize and pretend that nothing is wrong. And everything is bright and shiny. And so in those times in life when people would say, well, how are you? I would have this robotic response. It's great. It's unicorns and rainbows, right? We know these people, right? Nothing is ever wrong. And other times I have become so dead to feeling. Some would call this the unlived life or the unloved life. You become dead to life because in order to not feel that sadness, you have to block out all feeling. To block pain and disappointment, you also have to block joy and happiness. And the antidote to these extremes, I think, is the peace which transforms our wounds, our deaths, to new life. Peace be with you, the resurrected, wounded body of Jesus proclaims. In Hebrew, peace means shalom, fullness. It means having everything you need to be whole, to experience all of life. And unfortunately, our society has made peace into a time without war or a time absent of struggle, as though peace should take hard things away, as though the peace of Easter is like a great cleanup that makes us forget the blemishes of woundedness. But that understanding of peace is what drives us to extremes. There's actually a bonus question to the five essential questions, and it comes from the first line of a Raymond Carver poem titled The Last Fragment. The question is this: did you get what you wanted out of life even so? Despite everything, did you get what you wanted out of life? Even so. The even so, I think, is the peace offered in the wounds of the Easter Jesus. You see, the even so recognizes that life is messy and it's hard. and that love is messy and it's hard. And Easter doesn't come and clean up that mess. It's Jesus telling us that to expect resurrection of life from your death, then we have to give ourselves wholeheartedly to life. We have to surrender to the beauty and the pain of life. For the love of God is with us both in beauty and pain. And so the poem reads, "And did you get what you wanted from this life even so?" I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved. To feel myself beloved on the earth. Now, some of you know this, but this past week I had a family member who was in a tragic boating accident on this very large lake in Alabama. And so the search for him and his two friends lasted for 5 days. And it was this roller coaster of grief and pain for his family, and it's a roller coaster that will continue for a long time. And I know many of you know that place. But in the midst of the roller coaster of that search, this small local volunteer fire department extended the most amazing hospitality to my family and to the families of the other men. And they offered their firehouse as a place of sanctuary from the crowd and the media that had gathered. And they provided them food and water. And in fact, when they found out that my aunt had dietary restrictions from an illness, they went and they researched what food she could eat, and they brought that food back to the firehouse. And it was this reminder to me that while we so desperately seek in this life to be beloved, we already are. And in fact, we are so beloved that the peace of the Easter Jesus begins transforming our wounds just as he sits with us in our woundedness. When we're paying attention, we see the peace of the Easter Jesus with us always. And it was those firemen offering food and shelter and protection, peace in the midst of joy and pain. The peace of the even so is the sign of our belovedness. And there's nothing that we can do to earn it. And there's nothing that we can do to deserve it. We can only give ourselves over to the whole of life, the beauty and the pain. And that's the good news. Amen.